The personal messages, views, and opinions of podcast participants are not necessarily those of the True Karma Mission and its affiliates, but rather are uniquely those of the participant. Health-related information contained on this podcast does not constitute the basis of professional medical advice and should not be treated as the basis for formulating health decisions without professional advice. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Drukama Voices on Drukama Radio. My name is Abhi, and I will be your host today. And I have Alahi, who is joining me and who has graciously decided to share her spiritual story with us. Thank you so much for being here, Alahi. Welcome.
Hi, Abhi. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you today.
Yeah, me too. So let's jump right in and start with your childhood. Is there anything that jumps out at you as spiritual experience that you had as a child, or did you have a particularly spiritual or religious upbringing at all?
Well, my parents were both kind of agnostic. My grandmother on my dad's side was Irish, and there was a bit of a kind of Roman Catholic theme there. She used to go to church, but it was never really a big thing for either me or my brother. But my parents were both very open-minded, and we were never discouraged from exploring the things that we wanted to explore. But in terms of spiritual experiences, one thing that happened to me when I was a young child, maybe like 5 or 6, is that I used to get night terrors, and I would basically get stuck halfway between the dreaming world and the normal waking world. And I would kind of be able to like see like an overlay of a different world on this world. Or sometimes, you know, I would actually just be sitting there with my eyes open and my mum would be there. You know, I'd be screaming and my mum would be trying to wake me up. My eyes would be open, but, you know, I just didn't have that awareness of her. I was kind of half somewhere else. So that was probably one of my earliest spiritual experiences.
Very interesting. And how long did that go on for?
It probably went on for maybe 3 or 4 years. And I mean, it used to happen if I was sick or had some kind of, I don't know, just something going on. It would happen more regularly. Like I remember one time I had been out in the sun all day and I'd got a little sunstroke and I was staying at my grandparents' house and I kind of woke up in the middle of the night and it was just like there was this other reality layered on top of normal reality and I could like see my grandfather. He was, you know, trying to comfort me and look after me. But to me, he just looked like a vampire. Like he had all of this stuff all over him. And I could just see all of this weird stuff like in the room. It still looked like the room, but it was, you know, just overlaid with this whole other thing. And eventually it stopped happening. I guess as I got older, I kind of grew out of it.
Sounds like those could be very terrifying experiences. Did you at some points, you know, try to push that away? Or were you kind of open to things being a little bit more fluid and not what you would expect?
Yeah, you know, a child of that age, it was pretty scary. And I think actually, as I have got a little older, and started to have some dream experiences through my spiritual practice, more recently, that still has an effect on me. Like I've still, you know, sometimes if I have like a lucid dream, I still get this kind of fear reaction, which comes into play.
Yeah. So after that kind of subsided, what happened next? Anything else in your childhood that you can think of, or maybe teenage years that kind of spurred you on your spiritual path?
Well, although I wasn't heavily involved in any particular religion or spiritual tradition, there was always a little pull there for me. Like, I used to love singing, and I went and just sang in my local church choir just for the fun of it, just because I enjoyed singing. And I remember kind of being in the church services and looking at everyone and thinking, wow, it must be actually really nice to have that kind of belief in some higher power, you know, something beyond the world that we see here. But I never could bring myself to have that kind of blind faith in something. But I always felt like a real pull to the church. I was kind of interested in astrology in my teenage years. And when I was around 14 or 15, I had a kind of interest in paganism and Wicca. And I remember getting into trouble at school one day because I had this book on witchcraft. And I took it into school and there was a girl there who I didn't really get on with. And she saw that I had this book and was trying to make out like I was trying to put spells on people and curse people. And I actually got dragged into the principal's office to explain myself at one point. But apart from that, I didn't have any other kind of really heavy spiritual experiences until I got into adulthood, really.
Okay. And with the Wicca experience, was that just something you were kind of dabbling in, you know, reading books here and there? Or did you find a group and kind of a community as a teenager, or not so much?
Not so much, really. I can't even remember where I got them from, but I had a couple of books and, you know, I was interested in it. And I remember doing a little bit of research online about it. And I was just kind of interested to see this other side of what has in the past been seen as quite a dark thing, you know, like witchcraft and all that. So it was a passing interest.
Yeah, kind of exploring some new things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so that took you through your teenage years. And then what happened as a young adult? Were there any challenges that you faced or anything that seemed kind of a turning point for you that really thrust you into the spiritual path?
As I kind of grew up and got into my late teens and early 20s, I actually found life a little bit difficult. I mean, it would actually turn out that there were reasons for that, which I wouldn't discover until later on in life. But I had a lot of trouble dealing with my emotions, you know, my mental states. Everything was very volatile. I had some, you know, volatile relationships and, you know, I just never had the ability to rise above my emotions and just let things go. I would just get so caught up in everything. You know, I found myself always either trying to escape from these really heavy emotions or trying to just like seek things out constantly. Like I was a real thrill seeker, always looking to find some excitement or get myself into trouble in one way or another. But when I got into my early 20s, I got introduced to psychedelics. And that was kind of a turning point for me. And it really changed my whole outlook on life. And to start off with, you know, it wasn't even having these huge like spiritual revelations like you sometimes hear people have with psychedelics, you know, like becoming one with the universe and that kind of stuff. It was just insights into myself and my own mental state. Like I remember maybe the second or third trip that I had on mushrooms, I just all of a sudden realized, wow, the power to be happy actually lies within me. I don't have to rely on the external world in order to be happy. And it was a huge, huge revelation. Everything in my life changed. I got out of a bad relationship that I was in. I moved to a different town, like literally within a couple of weeks of this experience. And from that point on, I started to become more interested in meditation and in spirituality in general.
That's really beautiful. Was it a hard step? Because I know a lot of people that do psychedelics, it almost becomes that's the only way that they can experience something more outside themselves or something on more of a spiritual dimension. Was that difficult to say, you know, I can also experience this away from psychedelics? Or did that take some time to kind of unfold for you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, to start off with, I was just like, wow, psychedelics are amazing. And I just wanted to trip all the time and just be able to access those like higher states and access those insights. But around the same time, you know, I got interested in meditation and started to do a little research around spirituality. And gradually this idea kind of grew within me that perhaps these states that I was hitting could be achieved without the use of chemicals. But it was a slow process. And it's, you know, only maybe within the last 4 or 5 years that I've really been able to get away from that and stand on my own 2 feet in that regard. And there was a little, well, let's just say there are a few rhythms that had to happen in order for that realization to take place.
And so once you started meditating and finding the benefits of that, what kept you going? Because I know it's also easy to kind of start something, but not really know what you're doing. And it just becomes like a small pastime that ends up getting dropped. How do you feel like you were able to continue with it and make it a part of your life?
One of the things that I've always struggled with is discipline. And so it wasn't easy at first. And I think actually life decided that it had to kind of force me in that direction. When I was in my mid-20s, I started having some health issues. I had to kind of radically overhaul a lot of things in my life. I had to start eating a severely restricted diet. I had to give up all the foods that I liked. I had to give up drinking alcohol. I had to give up smoking. I had to give up basically every crutch. And it was a really kind of dark time in my life. And, you know, I had a lot of emotional stuff coming up too, which I think was down to the illness. And it was at this point where I was like, okay, something has to give. I have to find a way to be happy without relying on these crutches in order to make me be happy. And it was then really that I picked up serious daily meditation practice, and I would get up. I was working a long way away at the time, but I would get up at 5:30 just so I could spend 15 or 20 minutes meditating. I just saw the effect that it had on my mind and my emotions for the whole day. So that really spurred me into it. And at the time, I, you know, this health stuff was like the worst thing that had ever happened to me in my entire life. And I just thought life was over. Like, I was this party girl who just loved going out and socializing and having fun and getting drunk and whatever else. And it was just kind of ripped away from me. And it was terrible. But actually, looking back now, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. It was the one thing that really pushed me towards the path and being able to create my own happiness and mental states.
Wow. And where do you feel like you're at now? What changes have you seen in your life since being able to meditate so consistently on a daily basis over the past, you know, 5 years or so? How has that changed your illness, changed you mentally, emotionally? Do you feel like you are in more control?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. Things that would normally really drag me down just every day more and more just seem to be losing their power. And whereas before, you know, something might happen, I'd have a bad day or something might be going on in my life and I would just get so drawn into it and lost in it and, you know, let it consume me. But now I can actually see the thought or the emotion as it starts to rise up within me. A lot of the time I'm able to just see that straight away and just be like, okay, it is just a thought. It's just an emotion. Let it go. You know, this too shall pass. Everything is a lot more stable now. And I just feel so much happier and more at peace for sure.
That's so wonderful. And so with all of this that you've been doing, where did Drukama fit in kind of the timeline of all of this? How did you find that group and how long have you been with them?
I think I found Drukama around 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little longer. But around the time that I got sick, I really started my spiritual search in earnest. And, you know, I was reading everything that I could get my hands on. I was looking into lots of different traditions. And I found a lot of it confusing because I was looking at a lot of it from, you know, a very intellectual perspective. And it was hard for me, being quite an open-minded person, to actually judge what I believed to be true or what I thought was likely to be true. So it got very confusing. And I was always very interested in energy. And I started doing things like chakra meditations. And, you know, I could see the effect that they were having on me. And I remember going to see this energy healing lady, because I was having some weird stuff going on at the time. I had my health issues and I wanted a little bit of guidance. And she told me a few things that I didn't really want to accept at the time, a few things about myself and my life and changes that I needed to make. And for a while, I just went into this complete denial phase where I was like, no, none of this is true. Energy's not real. I don't want to believe in this. And I just kind of buried my head in the sand. And around this time, a friend invited me to join a group on Facebook. And I didn't read much into it at the time. I joined and I had a look around and he was like, no, this is the real deal. You know, you need to pay attention to this group. And I just kind of let it sit there. And a few things changed in my life. I went to see another energy healer and she did some work with me and I really felt the impact. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this clearly means that everything that I've been trying to deny for the last year is actually real. And I kind of went straight home and went on this Facebook group that my friend had sent me a link to. And I sent the person who was running this group a message. You know, I needed some help. I had some stuff going on and I just kind of asked for help. And what I got back was this hugely compassionate reply saying, don't worry, all of this is, you know, it's to do with energy blockages. And don't worry, we've got a website opening within a few weeks. Come and join us. Try out some of the practices and see what you think. And I was just blown away by this message and I could just feel the compassion like radiating from it. And it turned out that the person that I'd contacted was Daishi, who is the founding teacher of Dracama. And I went and joined the website in its first iteration. And I just kind of knew straight away that this was my spiritual home.
Nice. To close this out, is there anything else that you wanted to share? Anything that you learned in particular from the challenges that you've faced thus far, or anything really inspirational that you wanted to share with our listeners?
Well, going back to, you know, my kind of experiences with psychedelics, I think one of the most important things that Dracama has helped me to do is to actually enact the realization that I had from psychedelics. You know, psychedelics can kind of give you these insights into your life, into spirituality, into the nature of reality, but they can't actually get you there permanently. And one of the best things about Dracama has been for me is that all of these insights that I had back then have now actually started to become a real reality for me. Like back then I realized, oh, okay, you create your own happiness. But there's a big gap between knowing that you can create your own happiness and actually being able to do that, because there's so many habitual tendencies and so much stuff, murky stuff to work through. So the teachings at Dracama have guided me to be able to actually enact those realizations, to actually really genuinely be able to be happy, to genuinely get sustained insights into the nature of reality. And another thing that's had a really big impact on me is the energy work that we do at Dracama. As I said, I've had, you know, some experiences of working with chakras and energy centers, but really after joining Dracama, that kind of exploded and I've been able to access really powerful inner energies, which I thought I would never have access to, which I'd read about, but I never thought it would happen to me. And the same with things like dream lucidity. You know, since I've been doing these practices, my dream recall, my ability to become lucid within dreams has just absolutely gone through the roof, which has been an amazing experience for me. Going back to the energy thing, I've also had these experiences of just like overwhelming love and bliss and compassion, as well as making the practices which make the mind clearer. I've just really been able to start to awaken a genuine sense of love for all beings. Yeah, it's impossible to put into words, really. It has been the most amazing journey.
Thank you. That was really beautiful. And I want to thank you so much for being with us here today, Elahi, and sharing your story with all of us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Abby. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email us at radio@drukama.com. You can also find us in all the usual places on social media. Just search for Dracama Teachings. The transcript of this show is also available on drukama.com. Thank you so much again, Elahi, for joining us today, and I also want to thank all the listeners for being a part of this as well. Until next time, blessings.